PFT Media.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong, fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
Hey everybody, so it's the Devils in the Details, Demper La Pedro Luna, Cinema Crespedizo's own Chris Crespo, brought to you by Sparkling Eye Studios, Peach Nickel.
Here we are, we're the princes of
hopefully this episode survives.
I said I'm sorry. We lost one.
So if you can tell by my somber tone in the intro, as I walk in, find out that the episode we recorded last week, which was a phenomenal episode.
Great.
I'm not going to lie to you.
It was great.
Listen, people, all seven of you that listen to this. You know that I don't bullshit. You can mark that.
Well, no, that's fine.
I don't BS. I tell you straight up, when we have a good episode, we're very proud of the a good episode.
Mm. Yeah.
When it's a bad episode, we'll give you a heads up.
Yeah. It's all right.
It's going to be all right. Last week, we recorded an episode, and it was great. It was me and Dan and Chris talking about the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I learned many things.
Learned so much. It was so good.
Yo, we even threw ABBA at the end.
Yes.
While I was doing. And I'll do. And now when I do the reads, there'll be a music bed in the back. Surprise music bed, but I'll still do the reads. So it's. We'll have to re-record that one. We'll have to find a way to forget everything that we talked about.
We're going to have to wait a long time, unfortunately.
Bring it back.
I'll wait a year.
We'll wait.
To see if we can catch that lightning in a bottle kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was a good up.
Oh, God. So but it was so good. What happened, Chris?
Computer crash.
The computer?
Yeah.
But what is it fixed? Can we trust it?
Knock on wood. Let's not talk about it too much, all right?
Do we have a backup episode just in case?
I've already recorded several episodes with it since then.
Do we, if worst comes to worst, can you just splice off some best stuff?
Worst comes to worst. Yes, absolutely.
Just replay the first episode?
Yeah, there we go.
We can talk over and do commentary.
Word, that'll be good.
There we go. We should probably actually do that for real one day. Just play the first episode and then talk over and do commentary of the first episode. You guys remember recording this? Guys, I'm so sorry. I apologize.
No, it's not your
Hopefully
fault.
Hopefully it won't happen again. No, I mean, it's my fault because it's a bad computer and I need to get a better
things,
one.
Peter things happen.
Yeah, they do. Uh-huh. I need to get a better computer.
The Oscars, I'm going to dip my toes in the Crespedizo world.
Yeah.
The Oscars. Stock Oscars. Was out there. I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yeah. You're not happy?
I don't know. It felt like every movie was kind of like blah.
Right.
Kind of thing. Like, there wasn't one movie that was like, all right, the Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
That won Best Picture. I was happy Guillermo del Toro got his.
Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's the goldfish bestiality movie. Mm-hmm. When I saw the movie, I was kind of like, whoa, Guillermo. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Easy up with the manual thing.
It's a kinky movie, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went in there.
It is R-rated. It's for adults.
Yeah, I had no idea. I streamed it through Amazon.
All right.
And that was good. But Get Out was good. But there wasn't a movie that I was kind of like, yo, that's the best movie. Was there a movie for you that was kind of like, that's the best
of
movie?
The ones that were nominated or just for me personally?
Okay, the ones nominated, then give me your personal one.
Of the ones nominated, I really wasn't too excited about most of them. I mean, I love Get Out.
Right.
But, I mean, Pedro, I guess I have to preface this. Cinema Crespedizo listeners know, I always preface my awards talk with the mantra that awards for art is whack. Yes. I think the whole process is whack and kind of disgusting. I don't like it. I participate in it as a entertainment reporter of sorts with the whole podcast thing. SBK is the one who was like, you need to like watch the Oscars and be into it because that's the Super Bowl of movies. I was like, guys, Kevin's right. So that being said, there was nothing that I could like really be like, oh, I want this movie to win everything because my favorite movie of the year was Blade Runner 2049,
okay,
which won for best cinematography. So
which it was bound to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a gorgeous movie. So. Right. But outside of that, yeah, there was nothing that I was like really rooting for. It is what it is.
Yeah.
To use that tired
phrase. I mean, I'm happy for Jordan Peele.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very happy for Jordan Peele.
First ever black person to win a writing award at the Oscars in 90 years.
Yep.
And for Call Me By Your Name, there's a female credited writer.
What is
writer.
That movie about?
It's about a... It's
is that about like the Kevin Spacey dream thing? Like this older guy hits on a young boy?
No, actually the younger guy, the 17-year-old, comes onto the older guy, and he's the one who forces the situation. The older guy kind of tries to avoid it the whole
so
time.
So it is the Kevin Spacey.
I guess you don't put it in that perspective, yeah.
Scenario.
So it's the younger guy.
The younger boy hit me.
So it's Lolita.
It is sort of a Lolita type thing, okay. It is directed by a gay guy and written by. I assume the book is written by a gay guy.
So Kevin Spacey wrote this.
No, it is not. I've seen the movie and. It is weird to say that. I mean, look, guys, the kid is 17.
Out of 1 to 10 strokes, how many strokes you give it?
7.5 strokes. Personally, because it's a kind of a long movie, and I did think it was boring at times. Yeah. But when it was over, I cried. So
really?
Yes, it was very emotionally effective. The kid is 17 years old, right? So everyone's talking about how it's an older guy and a kid. But then what if he's 18 years old? It's less than a year from the time of the movie. Then it's fine.
It's legal in Florida, 17.
And I ain't trying to advocate for, you know. I'm just saying, it's kind of derailing the conversation about what the movie's actually about, which is really first love, not knowing. Because he's also, at the same time, he's having sex with a girl, and he's like, he's trying to figure out what he's into.
Okay.
You know, it's about, you know, growing. It's a coming of age, confusion at that time, sexual confusion. Especially 80s, I think, Italy, and where being gay is not openly accepted at all.
So,
and
it's Italian Moonlight. It's basically what we've done. Okay.
Yes.
Italian Moonlight.
You're good at this, Dan. Yeah. It's Italian Moonlight.
Dan watches more shitty movies than I do.
It's good. Like I said, man, it made me cry. Like one scene summed everything up in such a way that I was like, oh, like it got me.
If there's not an explosion or a robot in it.
Not a single robot.
What's happening here? Yeah. Hey,
it's set during the great shirt shortage of 1983.
Oh, the shirt shortage.
And, you know, another congrats for winning the Oscar Pixar, you know. That's just a gimme now, isn't it? Like there was
nothing else that came out. I guess unless you count foreign movies.
That movie.
They
too cry.
I loved it. I left my kids watching it just now. It's a great
Oh, really?
Film.
Yeah, they're watching it now.
It was
it got me in the I've never seen Brianna cry.
I never thought a film was going to capture Mexican culture as well as Book of Life did until
I never seen Book of Life.
It's really good.
Book of Life is pretty fantastic.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
And then Coco came in.
And Coco's fantastic.
Yo, that hit me in the face. My daughter got emotion. She even said, she's watching the movie. She's like trying to hide her crying. Yeah, she goes, that got me in the feels.
It's good.
There kind of things. Like,
you got to be open to it. Admit it. Admit when a piece of art gets you. Why not? That's the point of the piece of art.
Point, though, like they should get rid of the animation award. They're writing such films that really touch you. I have no problem if an animation wins Best Picture.
What, didn't Lion King got nominated for Best Picture, didn't it?
The last one to be nominated was Beauty and the Beast, which is pre-Lion King. Although, I want to say, it was Up. Up may have been nominated. Okay. It may have been.
Nah, they shoehorned that one in,
I think so. But that was also right around when they expanded the Best Picture nominees from 5 to a possible 10. So
dumb.
But they did that, though, so that they could include movies that are more popular.
Right.
So then it increased viewership. So movies like Get Out would get nominated, but then it's not working because this year was the lowest rated Oscars ever. 26 million viewers.
Yeah.
Which I don't, ever. Again, I always think, who cares at that point, though?
I agree.
Like, you know, and if there's one thing I really dislike about conservatives, and I usually try to be unbiased, it's this, for some reason, war against Hollywood, even though you assholes are buying a movie ticket anyway.
It's a war against culture.
So it's like, oh, we won't watch the Oscars. Yeah, you Avengers just made $30 trillion, so go f***
I'm not gonna watch it, but I'm gonna comment through Twitter the whole night.
Like, take that, libtards. What? No, you're still buying tickets, you idiot.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think is funding that award show? You watching it? No, the tickets you bought already.
Enjoy a James Woods movie.
Yeah.
Go ahead, put James Woods and John Voight together in a movie. Make it a buddy film.
And I don't understand the whole celebrities need to stay out of politics. No, it's their First Amendment right. They are on camera. They're exercising their First Amendment right. They have more money. If you are against celebrities using their First Amendment right or using influence politics, but you support Citizens United? What's
up? Yeah, exactly.
So businesses can have feelings, but not actual human beings that are popular.
Because they're actors. But same goes with basketball players, need to shut up and dribble, et cetera.
No, they are human beings. They're American citizens. Yeah. They're allowed to say whatever they want.
They are allowed to have opinions and express them.
Sorry, First Amendment trumps them all. That's why it's number one.
It's pretty crazy.
Dan's getting so
I hate when people attack that stuff.
I've never seen him this angry.
It's hot. I like it. I appreciate
those pink headsets.
Right? It's the one thing that gets me off is attack on Hollywood. It's like all they've done is like make people happy for 100 years.
But then when Hollywood, this exact same Hollywood, makes American Sniper and their right latches onto that, they're like, oh, like a movie for the people, blah blah. It's like it's the exact same people made this movie
for the people.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody can buy a ticket.
We're all the people. No. I'm talking about the real Americans, Dan. The ones that live in the middle of America.
You all spent $100 million on a billionaire in a robot suit. Yeah. What for the people was that?
That's for all the people.
I don't know. I never understood why you're attacking people whose job it is to make fantasy.
You know who I blame for this? Wakanda.
Wakanda.
Because Wakanda came out and everybody's like, Hollywood's dead. No more. It's over. Relax. And another thing, black people, Wakanda's not real.
No.
Let's calm down.
Oh, I wish it was.
Let's calm down.
It's okay. It's all right.
I understand. It's great. I wish it was real.
Right.
You know what I mean? And take that spirit and maybe apply it to your neighborhoods.
To your communities.
Make your own neighborhood your own Wakanda. Make your own Wakanda.
And if you want to do more movies, make a movie about an actual black emperor from Africa. There were historical ones just as wealthy as Black Panther.
Well, Black Panther is easier to sell than Mansa
Musa.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is a good one. Give him a good one.
You could do Mansa Musa. You can do Cindy Adekide, the Lion King.
Okay.
But the problem is, and I think this is the reason that they don't do it, all of those were Muslims.
That is the problem. That's exactly the problem.
Can't we whitewash it?
Christian Mansa Musa?
Yeah. Can't we do Robert Downey Jr. in the Tropic Thunder outfit?
There we go. And also, can we make Mansa Musa? Can we give him a Black Panther suit?
Sure.
Yeah.
He basically had many Panther suits, so I'm assuming he owns several of them, too.
Actual Panthers.
With the Panthers, for the hood.
He owned all those. Yeah. So
that's hysterical.
Oh, man.
So I'm sorry for the rant. I just...
No. But it makes sense. Why is it... Okay, yeah, exactly. It's like news anchors are actors. They're actors. They're most of them are not journalists.
Uh-huh.
Because journalism is basically dead.
Yes.
They're just actors that are reading... They're good at reading a teleprompter. Mm-hmm. And they can... Out there. It's,
if people wanted real news like they say they did... The ratings for BBC and NPR would have been through the roof this year, and they're not.
Yeah. It's not. That's true. Yeah, that is as unbiased as you can get. Everyone would be, you could get like personal Reuters and AP subscriptions, you know?
You're just
like straight facts.
You don't want real news. You just want the conservatives to beat you out.
You want your echo chamber. Same with liberals. You want your MSNBCs.
Yeah, same thing with liberals. You want your Rachel Maddow telling you the news, and then the other side. I don't even know the conservative guys anymore. I know Fox and Friends are the...
I got Fox and Friends is
the plague of all...
Fox and Friends tells Trump what to tweet, and Hannity is going strong with his conspiracy.
I don't even think they tell...
Tucker Carlson took over for Bill O'Reilly. He's still going
strong. I don't even think they tell him what to tweet. I think that they just say stuff, and they're amazed. Yep.
Well, that's the thing. They know he's watching.
Yeah.
Of course they know.
And then he tweets about whatever you're talking about.
Of course they know he's watching. It's a daytime news show with fluff, and he's a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
Of course he's watching it. Yeah. I know that. I used to hang out with my grandmother doing crossword puzzles. It's the same thing. You know, at the end of the day, guys, it's a 70-year-old.
Did you watch Sally Jesse Raphael, Danny? Yes. Did you watch it? She brought Donahue, had these kids just... With the pants down.
just terrible people.
Rhymes just making nonsense.
Who would do such a thing?
Are you talking about the blacks?
That's what you're talking about. Well, we don't say it
that way. We don't say it that way.
Don't say that. I don't mind them.
Right.
I just want to be clear. I don't mind them.
Just pick up the pants.
I'm pretty sure they're nice people.
The world is falling apart because these cherry-picked individuals at my TV screen are acting so horrible.
Yeah, these three people on for half an hour.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But this is the world we are in. And, you know, we just got to just hope it's...
We've always been a country of sensationalism. That's what it is. We really have a hard time accepting moderation in this country.
Which is fun, but it's also insane.
It's part of our history.
Yeah.
It's part of our history.
Look at the '80s. Look how much cocaine they did. And look, if you correlate the cocaine use and the movies released
right
in the '80s.
Just Stephen King, he only made one movie, Maximum Overdrive.
Oh god.
Doesn't remember making it.
Yeah.
Because of cocaine.
Yeah.
And he openly admits that. He's like, I don't remember making it because I was ripped on cocaine
Gremlins,
the entire time.
Gremlins came out. Critters came out in the 80s.
Yep.
Two Short Circuits, right?
Yes.
There wasn't a third one.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Short Circuits 2 definitely killed it.
Three Karate Kids. Two Rambo sequels.
There was E.T. and then there was Mac and Me.
And Flight of the Navigator.
Mm-hmm. Enemy Mine. The Last Starfighter.
Yo, what's that movie that we
space
always
camp?
Say?
Space Hunter. Or Space...
Me and Dan...
Space Hunter.
Yeah. Me and Dan want to do, and honestly, if Cinema Crispo, you can hook this up. Me and Dan watch, and join us watching Space Hunter.
Uh-huh.
And we'll Mystery 1000, 3000, or whatever it is.
Oh, like Riff Tracks it up?
Yeah, Riff Tracks
I don't know what the Space Hunter is.
It's you don't know amazing. Molly Ringwald's in that movie.
What? I love Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, and Dennis Hopper? No.
No, the Michael Caine. No. The guy from V, the bald-headed guy, Caine. It's Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You got to check it out. It's pretty ridiculous.
All right. I'm going to have to.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, at the end, these chicks got to go through, it's like a... They capture and then they got to go through this...
the maze of death,
this
man.
Maze, like obstacle course kind of thing.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Anything of death sounds exciting.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It's so insane.
Space Hunter. We could hook up a live, in front of an audience of people, or you mean like recorded?
Oh, we can record it.
Right.
We can do some test runs. We don't have to... We don't got to embarrass ourselves just in case things get deleted and stuff.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We'll have backup recording devices.
There you go.
So, I'm excited for Cobra Kai.
Yes.
It sucks that it's going on
YouTube Red.
YouTube Red, where they show, where they give contracts to people that put dead bodies on. But I guess that's what we're doing.
Couldn't get that Hulu money, huh?
That's fine. I got an Amazon Fire Stick, and I'm going to jack that. And I'm excited for that Cobra Kai.
Yeah,
You know me. I can't wait.
Yeah,
I'm pumped.
I hope they find a way to bring back the guy who was running the whole thing initially, because he's still alive. You ruined his thing at
That dude. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's available.
Yeah, Martin Cove totally is gonna be part of it.
I'm pretty sure he's available.
I hope so, because he's not. Because in the trailer, it just shows Johnny reopening the Cobra Kai.
He'll show up with his purse.
Yeah,
and his son being the agent of Johnny and be like, no pictures, guys. Not him. It's okay. I told him I'll see him in the tournament. Click, click. Yeah, bitch. All right, Dan. What are we talking about today? What we got today, Danny?
We're gonna do a little American
history. You didn't tell me jack today.
I didn't.
You wanted to surprise me today, so what are we talking about?
We're going
to
do some American history.
Okay.
We're going to do some American history. We're going to go back.
To where?
To 1894. We're going to talk about the Chicago World's Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like, what is it? That's five or 4 years before the United States decided to take over Puerto Rico.
Yes. Yes, and it's partially responsible for
shut up.
For doing that. Yes,
I'm gonna hate fairs.
you're gonna have mixed emotions about this fair because it really sets the cultural norm for what the United States is gonna be for the next 100 years.
All right. So what? Okay. what is it? Was this the first fair ever?
So here's the World's Fair in general.
Okay.
The first World's Fair was in 1851 in Great Britain.
Okay.
It was Great Britain was doing well. It was a dominating power of the world at this time, and they wanted to put on this huge exhibition, and it and they built this. They built the Crystal Palace.
Okay.
So beautiful, huge glass enclosure.
Okay.
And inside were, they wanted to show that they were the most innovative and the most technologically advanced and the wealthiest nation in the world. So they invited everyone out. Everyone could come to the Britain's World's Fair. It's great exhibition, crystal exhibition.
Okay.
And inside were different scientific experiments and inventions of the new things coming out.
Back in 1850-something.
Like 51, yeah.
51. What kind of experiments did they have in there?
I mean, you're looking at kind of early...
Look at this magnifying glass. Ooh.
Different types of engines on locomotion, okay. Different types of weaponries was being out, repeating weapons and such like that. The first prototypes of the machine guns are coming out around
really?
This time.
Why?
Yeah, the very, Tommy very gun? Early. Interchangeable okay. parts, things like that.
The Gatling.
So a lot of that. They also had a bunch of
time to bleed.
A bunch of fairs as far as international.
Any rides in this place?
Not yet.
Not no rides.
Not yet.
Really? Why would they? Okay, so this fair was a boring ass fair.
It was more of a convention. It was more of a big old convention for everyone to go.
Okay.
But then they started to get more elaborate as the years went on, and then you know Berlin wanted one. And then,
what was the first ride?
We're getting
Chicago?
There.
Chicago? Oh, we are.
We're getting there. We're getting
excited.
There. Don't
I'm
worry.
Excited.
We're getting there.
I'm in.
Spoiler alert, Pedro, man. You're jumping ahead.
And everyone's coming up with these great, like, everyone had, like, this centerpiece, like this big old Marvel, look what we can build centerpiece.
Okay.
And the one that slapped everybody in the face was in 1881 when Paris got it.
Okay.
And they built the Eiffel Tower.
Ah.
And everyone's like, wow, how do you top that? And it's the first freestanding steel structure of its type.
And they just did that for their
World's
Fair.
That was for their World's Fair. It was like, look what we can do with steel.
Just to show off.
Freestanding, no supports whatsoever. We are the masters of steelcraft.
Wow, French are arrogant.
It was the big gauntlet on the floor for anyone else that was taking the
They just whipped out their baguettes.
Yeah. And
just said, enjoy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Slapped it down.
Put some butter in tea.
Right. And if that wasn't enough, this was just, they not only had they built the Eiffel Tower, but they had also shipped the Statue of Liberty to America at this time.
Shut up.
So it's just like, look at all this stuff we can do.
You're welcome. America, we sent you a little something.
Yeah.
Look at the giant structures we can build.
Exactly. So America finally gets to, it's their turn for a World's Fair. And the idea was to have it done in 1892.
Okay.
To celebrate the 400 year anniversary of Columbus discovering the Americas.
Okay. What year did the Statue of Liberty get to?
1880s, somewhere around there. And I can't remember the exact date.
So New York didn't even get the fair. They
were in the competition for it.
They were in the this is like the Olympics?
It was a bid. Chicago, St. Louis, and New York all bidding for it.
Okay.
And everybody was blustering about how they could do it better and bigger, and Chicago was starting to make these huge, like, projections about how awesome they could do it, how cheaply they could do it, and how it would be the biggest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that the New Yorkers started saying that they were full of hot air. And it's right here where Chicago gets the nickname the Windy City.
What?
Not because of the wind. Right. It's because they were the biggest blowhards, the biggest braggarts.
Really?
It was an insult.
It has nothing to do with the wind.
No.
It's just because they talk so much trash.
Yep.
So, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And New Yorkers gave it to them?
They lost it out.
They gave them the Windy City tag.
Yeah, it was an insult at first.
Chicago called New York the Big Apple because they said, how about them apples? We got it.
You guys are a Big Apple. Yeah. Man. Very nice.
So now the Chicago group is sitting around.
Peter Cetera.
You know, they're
the horns.
So, so we got this World Fair we got to do. what we gonna do? Who we gonna build?
What time the Bears play?
Time the Bears gonna be invented?
That chewing sound also. That chewing sound right, this is Inside Podcast. That chewing sound was me and Dan whenever we got bored with a guest that Ryan would give us to talk on the phone. We would get bored and we just start going. Yeah? And just starts chewing.
We would do Norm MacDonald's impersonation of Burt Reynolds.
Yeah? Mm. That's good.
Which can be interchangeable with Dennis Farina.
Yeah,
it could however, it you wanna, however you want to do it.
Pure Chicago Dennis Farina.
Right.
Yeah.
All
right,
so we got...
So they need a guy to do it.
Okay.
Obviously, you got to pick a guy from Chicago to run this.
Capone.
No. Yeah, he's not over yet. He's not over yet. He just was born.
Okay.
So they pick the head of their biggest architecture company at this time. His name is Daniel Burnham.
Okay.
You know, really great guy. And he's not so much a genius in architecture as he is really good at finding amazing talent and keeping it around him and using it. So he's a great manager, fantastic manager. And he's going to start bringing in some of the biggest names. What he wants to do is he wants to create a city in America that really represents this new America going forward, because we're at the progressive age.
Okay.
We're trying to get rid of the Civil War, get rid of this idea that we're all cowboys and everything. Wants to show to the world we are sophisticated, we are top-notch, high technology, super wealthy. We are the new Roman Empire, essentially. This is the new city on a hill type of idea. And he wants to do that. That's phase one. Phase two, I need a structure that beats out the Eiffel Tower. I need to figure out what the hell's going to, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah, what is it?
Right. And then phase three is I've got to make sure that I have entertainment and innovation that wows everyone.
Oh, so here comes the polka.
It's got a thing. And at the end of the day, he's like, you know what else? I want a nice refuge. The park itself is going to be super, super busy. So I need a place where everyone can go and just chill out and get away from all the noise of the park and still be part of the park and enjoy it. And so for that, that's his first get. He brings in Frederick Law Olmsted, the man who designed New York Central Park.
Okay.
All right. Now, by this time, Olmsted is near his 70s or something like that. He's starting to, I mean, he had already designed about 300 state parks, city parks, et cetera, et cetera. And so he's going to build up Jackson Park in Chicago. That's his idea. And he wants to turn it all oriental and make it this nice little oriental scene. And so there'll be this beautiful oasis in the middle of this huge park. So that's the first thing he does. And his idea is, I don't want any sound to disrupt people. And so his first thing is, there's going to be no coal-powered steamships going back and forth from the island to the Miracle Mile area. The loop, that's what it's called, right? The loop. So he's like, well, how do you do it? He's like, well, we're going to start using electricity. It's one of the first times. Electricity is still very, very new. He's like, I want electric boats gliding quietly to the island and back.
Crazy. Put electricity in water. I like this guy.
Right?
Very daring.
A little crazy, right? So they do that. And so the next thing is, all right, I want the World's Fair lit up at night so people can go day in and day night. And the question is, who do you get?
Ooh, can I take a guess? Tesla?
Ooh, Reggie Watts.
There's the competition between Tesla and Edison.
Edison.
This is the first big competition between the two.
All right, there we go.
I was going with Watts.
Reggie Watts.
For some reason, Watts. I was just thinking Watts for some reason.
Get out of here.
Henry Watts.
This is what makes.
I like Reggie Watts better.
Reggie Watts.
It's hysterical.
This.
Yeah, it was a battle between Reggie Watts, Nikola Tesla, and Thomas. Watts lost.
Reggie Watts.
He's the first one to drop out.
Yeah. People forget about him. People sleep on Reggie Watts.
He's a time traveler.
He is a time traveler.
Reggie Jigga Watts.
So Edison.
That's his full name.
I thought Jigga Watts was the first racist transformer.
Oh, my God.
But that's what they call
it. It's a Michael Bay creation.
In Back to the Future. He goes, I'm going to join Gigawatts.
Gigawatts. He's like, whoa, Doc.
It's Gigawatts, Doc. Giga. Okay. Wait, so Edison and Tesla were like in competition?
Yeah, really?
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. And he takes Tesla. And this is the big break for Tesla. This is the one that makes it. And everyone's finally sees what alternating current can do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's because Tesla said he could do it for a third of the price. And it's also because Edison was from New York. Oh. And Burnham's like, no, I don't want any New Yorkers in this fair.
Wow.
It was this big F you.
Where's Tesla from?
Tesla was from Serbia. He was a Serbian immigrant.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't really matter.
And at that time, where was he living?
He was living in New York at the time.
Was he New York?
You know, he didn't really associate him with a New Yorker.
Yeah, exactly.
Type of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was the, because it was, he's trying to prove two things. One, America's the best of the world, but he's also trying to say Chicago's got this. We don't need you New Yorkers.
Yeah.
We don't need you. Oh. Yeah, we don't need any of you Buffalo guys or anything like that.
Douchebags.
No, this is all windy. This is the idea is to be as windy as possible.
That's great.
All right.
Tesla goes and he lines up the
fair.
Okay.
And he makes a contest. He gets some of the best architects to build this whole temporary city, and everything is completely alabaster white. All the cities and everything like that. It's neoclassicalism. He's bringing back this idea of what he thought was Roman and Greek Empire, because at this time, all we knew about the Roman ruins was the white, because we didn't know they had painted everything and like that. It was very colorful. So here you are. You see these seven beautiful buildings, all with huge columns and completely white, everything like that. And it's this model, what's called the neoclassicalism, that's called the American Renaissance. It's because of this architecture that you see it in all of our banks now and government buildings and everything like that. This was kind of the kickoff to really inspire all of that look in our government buildings.
So like in, like I was just in New York, there's some, like a random bank in Brooklyn had like the columns, big columns, the whole thing looked like it was granite, like stones. It's that like very old school style.
That's a neoclassicalism that Burnham is really like identifying with.
And there's like the statues are like engraved into the front of the building, and there's a big old clock right in the front, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, all right. New York Public Library. People look that one up.
Who got the gargoyles? New York got the gargoyles.
New York got the gargoyles. Yeah, nice. That's that Gothic style that New York took. Yeah. A lot of people want to be part of this fair. A lot of people are bidding and everything like that. And Buffalo Bill comes up to him.
Ooh.
Yeah, Buffalo Bill comes up. He's like, hey, man, I'll put my Wild West show in here. And that way everyone come. It'll be a big attraction. We'll, you know, give me a share of the profits, obviously. And Burnham's like, no. I don't want your old cowboy stuff. This is new America, new technology. I'm making future world. I don't need frontier land.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, he totally snubs him.
Go kick bricks.
Yeah. So here's the problem. He says this, and he's got Chicago on lock. He's got Chicago secured. This whole area, the loop, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about it? Buffalo Bill Cody rents the land across the way and opens up his Wild West show.
Get out of here.
Right there.
As competition?
Yep.
It's him, Billy the Kid.
Uh-huh.
Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull.
Andy Oakley.
Quick Draw McGraw.
Right.
And that lady from True Grit with one arm. Remember that?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The True Grit lady. Yeah. The Lone Ranger's there.
Tonto is making a special appearance.
Right.
It's like the Megacon of just frontier.
So the World's Fair is behind schedule. It doesn't open until 1894.
Ooh.
2 years behind when they were supposed to open up.
While Bill's been in that land for 2 years already.
He doesn't care. It finally opens up, in the first 3 months, they are eating it in ticket sales.
Really?
Because everyone's going to Buffalo Bill's circus right across the street.
They got Yosemite Sam exclusive deal.
That's crazy.
So it's a huge like thing. Burnham's got to figure out what's going to really excite these people, and so he starts bringing in a lot more people to try to innovate.
Okay.
All right. And here's where we get. And he still hasn't figured out who's going to beat the Eiffel Tower yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's still behind schedule on all this stuff.
Yeah, because I'm still kind of thinking. It's like,
and when it comes to World's Fairs, I mean, how long are they expected to be like open for at this time?
A few years.
Yeah,
okay. A few years. It's a big thing here.
Mm. It's not like there's a summer. No.
Okay. Yeah. And he's expected because people are coming from around the nation and everything like that. So at least 2 years
to
be open.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings in a guy for entertainment, a Jew by the name of Saul Bloom. And Saul Bloom is
a Jew.
Yeah, so it's a man of Jewish faith named Saul Bloom, and he is going to He's like, you know what? The problem is there's no entertainment and places to eat between your loop area and going to Jackson Park and back and forth. So we need to create some entertainment midway between all of these things.
I know that word.
Right. And I'm going to set up games and activities and contests, and there'll be food vendors and entertainment, and we'll just call it the Midway.
Wow. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
So this is when the gypsies started
showing
up.
This is all the carnival ride. Yeah, not the carnival rides, but all the carnival games and everything like
gypsies
that.
Gypsies being carnies?
It's Saul Bloom bringing
in. Yeah, because they got the tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They know how to, like, you know, they show you how to throw the ball in the bucket, and then all of a sudden you're throwing it, and you think it, like, you have some sort of disability. It's like, this guy did it so easily, and I'm over here struggling.
So he brings it. It's the first Midway in America.
Wow.
And that's why fairs are always associated with the Midways, is that Saul Bloom putting that in there. But he's not done innovating yet. He brings in a lot of people. He brings in some Vikings, guys who recreate Vikings and everything, like who came in with the original Norwegian Viking longboat.
Mm-hmm.
He brings in pygmies from Africa. To the whole, he has a whole little African pygmy.
Is this
village.
Like Hugh Jackman just assembling the greatest men on?
This is Saul Bloom. Yeah, this is all Saul Bloom doing this stuff.
Wow.
And I mean, at the same time, Barnum's doing his thing with his freak shows. But yeah, this is kind of like he's doing the same thing.
Oh, Barnum's doing this thing around the same time.
Yeah, he's got his traveling freak show at this point.
In Chicago?
Not Chicago. No, he's down in the south.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's got a station in New York. He's bringing in Jenny Lind. So he's got, you know, he goes down south a little bit with the Ringlings. And then mostly he's in New York with his American Museum, which burnt down, I believe.
Yeah.
Twice.
Suspicious.
Yeah. Who knows? That second one's suspicious. Yeah.
So he brings in this belly dancer.
Elephant hat matches.
This belly dancer by the name of Little Egypt. Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Let me look her up.
Google image search on.
Little Egypt.
All right.
So they brings in Little Egypt. And she gets there. She's this great belly dancer from parts unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, he's going to say she's this Egyptian princess, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets there, and she says, all right, cool.
Oh, there's a picture of her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There should be one.
Little Egypt.
Yep, that's her.
Yeah. Ashia Wabe.
Uh-huh.
Wabe.
So, cute little thing at the time, especially. But she gets there, and she's like, cool, so what music am I dancing to? He's like,
hip hop.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know.
We have nothing.
I didn't bring a band.
Oh, man.
She's like, did you even bring your band? She's like, no, it's just me. What? I need some music that I can dance to.
Mm-hmm. You don't have boom boxes.
Yeah, all right. And so Saul, all night, is sitting up with his piano.
He's a little chunky girl, too. All right, go ahead.
Oh, back then, that's what they liked.
Yeah, Rubenesque. Yeah.
No abs whatsoever.
Nah, abs don't really start forming for a while. The only person who has abs at this point is Sandow.
Very mushy.
Who's Sandow?
Sandow's the first bodybuilder.
Oh.
German guy.
Okay.
Of course.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, all right. So she needs... Oh, Saul Bloom is going to write the music?
Saul Bloom is going to write the music. And he writes a little ditty that everyone associates now with Middle Eastern music. Yep. Made in the USA.
Really?
By a Jew.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yep.
Fantastic.
That's all him just thumbing away that one night, coked out of his mind, I'm sure, trying to figure out what to do.
Well, at that point, Bayer sold it to him. And
exactly.
Yeah,
it was easy enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Saul Rosenblum?
Saul Bloom.
Saul Bloom.
He's not that Jewish. Saul Bloom, you'll know him. He looks very Hungarian.
No, there you go. I kind of see a picture of this dude.
Okay. I mean, yeah. He's a genius, entertainment genius.
Apparently.
That's the face. See, that's the face.
Yep, that's it.
That's the prototypical face of a guy that's like, trust me, I got this.
Don't worry about this. It.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to fix your
thing. I know the guy.
I'm going to. Yeah, like, I know a guy.
No, honestly.
I know two guys. We're good.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people that would be like, trust me, I got it. And you're like, you don't got it. But this guy has to look that if he tells you, trust me, I got it. He got it.
Like, thank you, Saul.
He got it.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom.
Yeah. And Saul's saving he's starting to save the park. Things are coming in, more and more people coming in. And another entertainment guy that he brings in is Scott Joplin. Ragtime.
Great-grandfather of Janis Joplin.
The first, the innovator of ragtime, the first jazz music.
Oh, okay.
Scott Joplin. No. The Entertainer.
Okay, I got it,
Yep, it's the... Yeah, he's a...
Shut up, that came out of Chicago.
Yep. Black piano player. And was this is the precursor to jazz music.
Okay.
It was ragtime. And it became... And he was kind of well known in the South and a little bit in the big cities, but at the, it's Chicago that makes him, and it's where a lot of musicians start to set up in Chicago after that, which is why Chicago becomes one of the headquarters of jazz afterwards.
So it's not so much the invention of ragtime, but the popularization of it.
Popularized it, yeah, really put it out there. He does invent it, but he's actually getting it popular, and he sells more sheet music here than anywhere else.
Wow, okay, cool.
So it's starting to get going. He's starting to make his money back here. So, big thing going on there. And you get a bunch of stuff. He's got a bunch of workers there. And again, when the people go in there, they really are amazed at the White City. It's this beautiful, pristine White City.
You mean like the alabaster White City's arm out? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And at night, it glows.
You thought it was like the Trump dream?
Yeah, I was going to say. Like,
I mean, it kind of was, too, given the time period. But and then, especially at night, too, when it lights up and everything, and you see this beautiful... If you want to go... If you want to search, since you're doing some image searches, Chicago's World's Fair at night, and it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Wasn't there a movie? I feel like there's a movie about that kind of thing. But I think it's more New York. But go ahead. I'll find the name of that.
And then movie. Even today, if you look at pictures of it today, even us with our modern... advances, you look at the city at the night and you're just like, wow, that one was really magical to walk through. And Burnham really hit one out of the park with it. He did a great job. He brought in the best architects. He brought in the best entertainment guy. Olmsted's Jackson Park is extremely popular. Everyone's loving the electric boats going back and forth. And to get them faster...
Wow.
Oh, you found that you pulled up a picture there?
Yeah, dude, this looks like Vegas.
Yeah, right? And for people at that time, they were like... That
must have been mind-blowing.
Dude, this is like a spaceship.
Yeah.
People still go to Vegas now, and they're like, look at all the lights. Mm-hmm. Imagine then, in the 1890s, that's crazy.
Yeah, you're just like, you walk in, and like Willy Wonka's Pure Imagination starts playing in your head. You know? You're just like, ooh, wow. And they were had the piers became so popular that they had to invent something to keep the people moving faster and not lollygagging and everything like that. So they invented a conveyor belt for people to stand on for them to move them forward. It's the first people mover is invented around here in the Chicago's World's Fair.
1890 whatever.
Four, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought airports invented that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like I thought it was like the airport. Remember when Orlando International first introduced that kind of like walking thing? It was like, yo, this is dope.
This is the future.
Yeah.
Future, baby.
It's just a matter of time before we start flying.
It's the future, but from some 80 years prior. Right? That's great.
Still hasn't found... I finally finds a guy. So the problem was trying to beat the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
Everyone kept saying, oh, let's build it bigger. And Daniel kept shooting those ideas down. Burnham was kept shooting the ideas down because he's like, no. All we're doing is copying and just making it bigger.
Yeah, it's not good.
They've already shown that they're the masters of steel. We're just going to copy what they did.
Yeah.
So it's not... And he's like, we need to show that we can do something with steel that nobody has done before and nobody can do before.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally finds a guy who's like, I can make steel... not only be a huge structure, but I can have it move on its own.
What?
Freely.
What?
And I can put people on it.
Shut up.
His name is George Ferris.
God,
yo.
Get
yo, what?
Yeah.
What?
And there it was, the first Ferris wheel.
How big was this Ferris wheel?
Kind of like the eye.
No
shit.
It's really
with these big platforms that you can put 10 to 20 people on.
I haven't been on the eye yet. I gotta get on that.
It was very similar to that as far as size. It was this huge thing and you could put multiple people on it and it went up. And
it takes like 20-30 minutes to go around, probably maybe even longer.
It went
back
fast
then,
too.
Right?
Did it still go pretty fast? He could make it go fast too. Yeah. And it dangerously fast actually.
Hold on.
But
enter Hector's speed limit. to introduce.
He's like, I have a solution to your problem here.
That that was his crown jewel, though. Burnham got his crown jewel.
That is wild.
That's why every fair has a Ferris wheel. It's
yeah, you know, because that tribute it's either
midways and Ferris wheels. Uh-huh. Man,
because when I think of a fair,
right,
there has to be a ride, and there's two rides. It definitely has to be to make it official a fair. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a roller. Well, three rides then.
Right.
Okay.
A roller coaster, a Ferris wheel, and then a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Without a merry-go-round, to me, it doesn't feel like a fair.
So you pretty much have going in circles vertical, going in circles horizontal,
and then
then something that's in some sort of rattle your direction. Brain. Yeah, yeah. Rattle the brain. A brain rattler. All
right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's still more that came out of this fair.
Okay. When did they have the idea, you know what? Let's take over this little island.
Right.
Did that come out in the fair too?
Not yet.
Not yet. Did they have a conversation in the Ferris wheel or something like that?
The fair itself is giving people this new national pride in America, that we can do anything, and that we are the greatest nation, and that we should kind of spread our awesomeness. It's really starting to begin that jingoism through there. So it's not. It's more of an indirect than a direct. It did help curb the kind of conquer lust that Americans
did. Wild had. Bill shoot any of the Ferris wheel containers?
No, he kind of knew when he was done. He was outdone on that one. Yeah. I mean, you can't stop something like that. He saw that and was like, "Wow, there you go. That's it.
Progress finally got him.
That's it." And a lot of people come over the year. Mark Twain shows up. He's one of the guests at the World's Fair during this time. He writes about how amazing it is. Mm. And now I've forgotten her name, and I feel really bad about it, but the woman who wrote America the Beautiful. There's a line in there about the Chicago's World's Fair. It's one of those second stanzas that we don't sing. But it says, "Thy alabaster..."
Alabaster something or other.
They're Alabaster Cities, yeah. And it's in there.
It's about the
It's the Chicago's World's Fair that she's talking about. Just look at all the great things we can do in America.
Man.
And
Aretha Franklin.
Yes, Aretha Franklin, just correct. Before WrestleMania. She's saying...
Catherine Lee Bates.
Yes, Catherine Lee Bates. Kathy Bates. How could I forget
Kathy Bates?
Kathy Bates wrote it. Of course, the stanza we all know was her inspiration when she climbed Pike's Peak and was looking at Colorado, beautiful everything out there. But then there's that part when she visited Chicago's World's Fair too that talks about look at all the innovations we can do.
Yeah,
and it was really Americans were like, yeah,
it's on the fourth.
Yeah, we are great.
It's on the fourth stanza.
Okay,
oh beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Take Puerto Rico!
Hey! I mean, they didn't say which seas. Yeah. You know, from the Miami shores to Puerto Rico shores.
I like how they skipped Cuba and Haiti and Dominican Republic.
They took Cuba too.
They did?
Yeah, they took Cuba in the Spanish-American War. They just gave it back. It's a difference.
Why did they give it back?
It was an agreement, I believe, with the Cuban government. Oh, okay. As long as they got to keep Guantanamo.
Mm.
Yeah.
They knew they were going to need it.
But that's where the vibranium is at.
So a lot of things coming out at this time. You have a lot of innovations.
So this becomes a big hit.
Huge
for them.
Hit.
The biggest thing was the Ferris wheel for them.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And then all the new technology coming out too.
Now,
like electricity-based stuff?
Now Tesla, however.
One of them, yeah.
Now Tesla, you would think he would be like, this was a good showcase for him.
Yes.
But... it wasn't, right? Because Edison just took over. Gangsta.
No, Edison actually doesn't. It's J.P. Morgan that takes them both.
J.P. Morgan?
Yeah, J.P. Morgan takes them both.
Shut up.
Yeah, he buys Edison's company right from under him and then buys Tesla's alternating current and makes that the new... and makes General Electric.
Wow. J.P. Morgan.
Oh, yeah. He's a bastard. Oh, yeah. We can do one day just the robber barons of the Gilded Age.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. How horrible they were to everyone.
Wow. Douchebaggery at its best.
So I'm going to list a couple of firsts that came out in the Chicago World's Fair.
Okay. Nice.
The Zipper.
The Zipper.
They had not a zipper yet.
The Zipper. Yeah, the Zipper shows up in the Chicago's World's Fair.
That's crazy.
The Dishwasher.
All right.
I think the
Zipper's still number one.
It was premiered in the women's building.
Of course.
Yeah, because they had a women's building, and that's where Susan B. Anthony spoke and everything like that.
Hey, Susan, you're going to do your little speech right next to the dishwasher.
Yep.
You'll feel right at home. Take off your shoes.
Cream of Wheat.
I love Cream of Wheat.
Did they have the black dude in the logo?
I don't know if he was there.
Not yet.
I don't know. I want to know who
the
logo
is. This is where
the... Is it Cream of Wheat, the one with the white kid, Alfalfa, or is it the black dude?
It's the black chef.
It's the black chef.
Yeah. Cream of corn.
Yeah.
Right?
This the one mice. Where it has the white kid that looks like Alfalfa.
Yeah.
Cream of rice.
Cream of rice, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because there's like three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
So we've got that. The hamburger.
Oh, really?
Cream of rice has the black guy.
Cream of rice is the black guy.
Okay. Cream of rice
Uncle Ben.
Oh, cream of wheat.
Cream of wheat.
I could have sworn that was also a black chef.
Yeah, cream of wheat, cream of white.
How are we going there?
Pedro's very intense.
Yeah, no. So we've got...
I'm into this. This is when I go into deep into the internet.
Summer. Yeah. So, the hamburger is one of them.
Hamburger?
The hamburger shows
up. Shut
up. Yeah, the hamburger shows up.
Delicious hamburger.
Yes. Then you have the penny press machine.
Oh, that stupid thing.
Oh, that's the first time it shows up. It's the penny.
Okay, the black guy.
Okay, so not everything out of Chicago World's Fair is great.
Yeah, right?
The penny press machine.
The penny press machine.
You want your coin to look like it got run over by a railroad? That's a whole premise behind it, right? That it looks like it got run over by a train.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So silly.
Wrigley debuts his chewing gum for the first time.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So you have that. You have also...
Let me ask you this. Wasn't the chewing gum supposed to be something else? And then all of a sudden it's like...
I had not heard that.
Or is it the silly putty?
Silly putty was originally supposed to be an explosive device.
And then it turned out
into nothing. Yeah, it was invented in World War II.
Okay.
And it was a total failure.
Not a total failure.
Right, obviously not a total
failure. I can copy entire strips of Kathy every Sunday.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's the only thing it's good for. But you can also do it with that, what's that candy? It's
Tootsie Roll.
No, the yellow one. It's not yellow, but it's like the peanut kind of thing. It's like in a mustard colored wrapping and has like a
taffy.
It's not god damn it.
Go back to the phone.
Gack, are we talking about gack?
Gack.
Gack.
Peanut, is it peanut chew?
Peanut chew? I don't know. Yeah.
What kind of 1960s candies are you talking about, Pedro?
Stuff there.
Talking about these old
Mary Janes.
Mary Janes. Okay.
She could do it with Mary Janes.
No one's eaten a Mary Jane since 1984. Mary Janes. But Wrigley gum, though. People
eat Wrigley gum
daily. Still, that's crazy.
There was a new chocolate dipping machine that came out.
Ooh.
And it's at the World's Fair that it was bought by Milton Hershey.
Hershey,
mm-hmm.
Man himself.
Yeah, he buys his machine there at the Chicago's World's Fair.
A chocolate dipping machine
mm-hmm.
to start his
up his empire. Oh, yeah,
wow, that's crazy.
I remember when I used to be on the road in comedy, you get stuck in hotel rooms and you watch nothing but A&E and History Channel and stuff like that. But there's something about if I remember this correctly, the Hershey family. You know, they ran the chocolate thing, and then one of the cousins or family members wanted to do their own thing,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, no, go
left Twix,
and it left Twix, yeah, that's his nickname. And he went and founded M&M's,
the Mars Corporation,
the Mars Corporation, and the biggest hit was the M&M because they would only sell chocolate during the winter, not in the summer, because it would melt. But he went to France
and
learned about about the whole.
You want to know
chef.
About that chef? Huh? That candy coat. We call it the
And then so it became a Sunder. Oh, yeah. A Sunder. Yeah, summer.
I might have originally all these it was kind of thing. We're gonna talk about chocolate.
In France, they're actually called the Marshall Mathers, and then he just decided to call them M&M's when he came to Orlando.
The get this guy out of here. I was believing it too. It's like, man, Eminem's really smart. I had no idea it was
they were called
deep.
The Marshall Mathers.
Son of a, you had me going. All right. You're the teacher. You can't do that, Dan. We come to you for facts.
Aunt Jemima's Instant Pancake Mix.
Came out of the World's Fair.
Yeah,
wow.
World's
Shut
Fair.
Up. Yeah, man.
So Cream of Wheat and Aunt Jemima repping. Yeah. Wakanda strong, baby.
And Scott Joplin. Yes. You get a lot of black culture coming out of there.
Okay.
Awesome. So it just, yeah, like I said, a lot of huge developments. And there's a bunch more that I'm probably forgetting.
If you know any of these, send them to us.
Yeah.
Feel free. And just hit us up. You know where to find us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say it at the end of the show. That is crazy. Yo, can you get that Joplin thing so when I do the read, I have that song in the background?
Joplin thing?
Yeah.
And so there was so much innovation. And so much inspired a lot of guests. We already talked about Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates, yeah. Hammering ankles.
But another guest was L. Frank Baum.
Al Frank?
Al Frank Baum, okay. The writer of The Wizard of Oz. And when he saw the plays, he was inspired as well. And so that's where he gets, when he sees all these innovations and everything like that, that's where he gets this idea of Oz being this kind of big multinational innovation, and he also gets the idea for the Tin Man.
Because of that. Because,
yeah, this was the time of new innovation, Tin Men and Straw Men and things like that. Like, America, that's why, you know, Wizard of Oz is like the first American fairy tale. And a lot of it was inspiration of him just walking around the Chicago's World's Fair and really getting that idea there. Another inspiration was one of the many, many Irish immigrants that were hired to build everything. And one of them did not die a horrible death trying to build it.
Flaherty O'Malley.
Close. His name was Elias.
Elias?
Elias Disney.
Ah.
Oh, wait a minute. Elias Disney. Oh, this is a prequel.
Yes, it is.
This is Walt's grandfather. And when he would come back, he would tell stories of this wonderful Chicago's World's Fair, you know, years later to his grandson and told him, yeah, you know, the Daniel Burnham really created a magic kingdom.
Ah, wow. Disney just straight up jacked his grandfather.
and
it's called inspiration.
Yeah, whatever.
There's a tribute to his grandfather's work and Daniel Burnham himself in Disney World and Disneyland. It's in the ride, It's a Small World.
Mm.
At the end, if you remember the ride at all at the end?
Which is now closed, right?
Well, it's just now getting renovated, which I feel bad because they're erasing a little bit of Disney history at the end. When you get to the end, it's all the cultures together singing, and they're all wearing white at a big white parade with the Ferris wheel going and it's the Chicago's World's Fair, which started it all.
Wow.
Yeah. So that went, I felt bummed that they're getting rid of that ride.
Are they getting rid of it for real?
They're making a Tangled ride, and they're going to erase that one piece of Disney history.
Wait a minute. They're getting rid of Small World?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You didn't hear about
it.
Yeah.
You didn't hear about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They gotta move it somewhere or put it in a museum or something.
That's one of the last ties in Disney World to that original inspiration. Like Elias and everything, Daniel Burnham are all in that one little room.
Wait a minute, is the E.T. ride still at Universal?
Yeah.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. Wow, that ride is gonna outlast Small World.
It may. We'll see.
Yeah. So.
Bye, Daniel. Bye, Chris. Bye, Pedro. Wally.
When was the last time we were on that ride, though? Now it just goes. It tries, but then it's like.
And there's another first at the Chicago's World's Fair that we haven't talked about yet. There's another man buzzing around Chicago at the same time Daniel Burnham is getting his masterpiece complete. And he realizes, man, there's a lot of people coming here. There's a lot of people who are coming here that people wouldn't notice if they just disappeared. And he's going to build this hotel And every single floor of the hotel, every time he builds a floor to his specifications, he fires that construction team and brings in another construction team and has them build a different blueprint for the next floor and the next floor. So the only person who knows about how the hotel actually works and all its crevices and corners is him. And no one else knows what he's working on. And he opens up this hotel and he calls it the castle. And little by little, people start disappearing.
What?
And his name is H.H. Holmes, America's first serial killer.
Shut up.
That's crazy.
Yo, yeah. What?
Yeah.
This dude built a death building.
Yes. At the same time, Burnham is building the most magical place in America.
Disney is in one end, and then the psychopath is another.
Yep.
And this guy's like, man, it's too many people. I got to find a creative way to kill them. I've been so inspired by Tesla and, and Bloom.
And he would, yeah, he would and kill them and then stuff the bodies.
Goddamn cream of wheat is so delicious.
If only he had a little bit more or listened to some, you know, ragtime or something.
You gotta relax.
Gotta relax a little bit. Gone to Buffalo Bill's show.
Probably, yeah. You know what? The people mover broke down.
You got so mad.
There were so many people. I was like, I'm gonna kill
him. You got stuck in the middle of it.
Wow, dude. H.H. Holmes.
H.H. Holmes, man.
And he killed them in the hotel?
Yeah, and he would kill them in the hotel because, you know, obviously he knew everything and all the trapdoors and stuff. So people would check in, they would sleep at night, and then here he would come like out of the wardrobe or something like that and strangle them in their sleep. And then without even opening the door, he would just go back into his stuff corners in the hotel and stuff them down certain chutes that went right down to the basement.
Wow.
And then he would cut them up, or he had this huge crematory built back there. He said it was a furnace that would just turn everything into dust and ash in them.
Has Hollywood even tapped into this H.H.
Holmes thing? It's been optioned off. There's a great book, and how I got most of this information is a great historical book called The Devil in the White City. It's by Eric Larson.
Okay. Oh, I've heard of that title. They've been trying to make it for years now.
And DiCaprio has been tapped, and he bought the rights, and he wants to play H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
It's getting there. I don't know what's got, but yeah, if you want to find out more about what I'm talking about, it's very well written. It's one of the best history books I think has ever been written because it has an appeal to mainstream people.
Okay.
Like, you'll read it and it'll feel like you're reading a thriller.
One more time, nice. The name of the book?
The Devil in the White City.
Okay.
It will be a movie.
The Devil in the White City. Yeah. So yeah, if you want to find out more, that's what kind of
what
got
year,
me going about it. And then
what
I did
year
little,
was the World's Fair?
1894.
So probably...
To 1896?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
The Columbian Exhibition is what they were calling it. In honor of Christopher Columbus.
Oh. Wow, dude, that's big old white crazy. Station.
Yeah.
That's crazy. See, that tells you, dude, no matter what year, there's good and evil in everything.
And he's the inspiration, the Death Hotel and everything like that. He's the inspiration for that...
Bates Hotel.
For the season 5 of American Horror Story.
Okay.
That guy was basically H.H. Holmes, or so they wanted to. I don't know why they just didn't do H.H. Holmes, but there you go.
Hmm.
It's basically that. So, yeah.
Is that the Lady Gaga season?
The hotel one, yeah.
Okay.
He's basically Herman Webster Mudgett, or... I'm sorry, his real name was Herman Webster Mudgett. He changed his name to H.H. Holmes.
That's a good
Yeah,
move.
I would change it.
That was smart.
The evil Herman Webster Mudgett. I'm not scared. I don't know.
He had a concept of marketing.
Branding,
at the time.
Baby.
Yeah, branding. Yeah.
Triple H.
That was his Twitter. H.H. Holmes.
Triple H. Burying people.
Just sleeping in your hotel.
What? Spitting water.
He financed his hotel from all the body parts he would sell to medical
Shut
schools
up.
And colleges.
Shut up.
Yep, because they would pay a lot for black market bodies. With
hey,
no...
Mr. Holmes, what you got here? Well, I got a fresh, fresh left on.
A lot of no questions asked back then in medical colleges.
Really? He wrap them in butcher paper and just bring them over?
He's like, I got three legs and a torso.
Yeah, he would telegraph them, say, I got some guy, and they would send their people over, and if the specimen was good to operate on, they'd pay him for it. So he made a lot of money. You know, he took their money from being in the hotel.
Did he?
And then he made their money from their corpse.
Wow.
Did he aim at a particular type of person? Or was it mostly male or just
female?
Mostly
female. Single females.
Single females.
Single females. Wealthy single females, always popular. Sometimes wealthy widows. And he would kill the kids as well.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he's in that job. No, he definitely.
Okay,
wasn't.
So he didn't have like a particular like John Wayne Gacy like
he,
you know.
No, he had his thing was with women, and he was a very handsome guy too. He had like piercing blue eyes and fair skin, and so a lot of women fell for him. He would seduce them and then kill them. Yeah. He admitted to 48. We think it was more like 200.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for this one private detective that was not going to give up, he would have gotten away with it.
Tracy.
Dick Tracy, and that was his name.
It was.
I forget the detective's name, actually. It eludes me as well.
That's crazy. I'm going to definitely look into this.
Yeah.
And wow.
And it's always a little fun, the story. I love the Disney, Burnham part, but a lot of people, of course, love the Holmes part.
Sure.
Yeah. Disney, the psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Ferris wheel.
Cream of Wheat.
Aunt Jemima.
All of them meeting
people
at once.
People movers.
Mm-hmm. Belly dancers.
Belly dancers.
Jewish Midway, entertainment.
Gypsies.
Yeah.
Wild Bill. Tesla. Wow, Chicago.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
You That's really jammed everything there. Now, didn't New York had a World's Fair, too?
They
Because they have
they
one
did.
In Queens.
The 33 World's Fair. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the big one with the Men in Black Towers and everything.
Yeah.
That was, and then Chicago had one again, and yeah, they kind of went back and forth, and St. Louis had one again, too.
St. Louis introduced that arc.
But that arch. That was the arch. It was one of them. Yeah.
Okay.
What was the last World's Fair?
They're not called World's Fairs anymore. They're called Expos.
Oh.
Yeah, they're called like the big Expos and everything, and they're all like in South Korea and Hungary and stuff.
They don't do it like anymore. Like, okay, for us, it's like...
We haven't hosted an Expo in a while.
We're beyond that now.
Yeah,
we're just like, look at our theme parks.
Yeah, we don't need
come to the Orlando Convention Center.
It really created the theme park craze. Absolutely,
sure.
Created the theme park craze. You know, was the basis of everything.
Epcot is our permanent expo.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was supposed to be. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right.
Wow, that's insane.
He was always obsessed with recreating the Chicago's World's Fair.
Yeah,
and they're removing
his entire legacy.
The whole legacy. dude, I'm. Listen, I know why people got upset with the teacups and Space Mountain being updated and all this other stuff.
And
the
Toad one?
Yeah, that's
the Toad,
the
right?
Spinning Toad, Cup Ride or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Toads, Wild Ride.
But yo, that, I mean, and it's funny because me and my buddy were talking about that place of It's a Small World, because he got the season pass at Disney, right. And he wouldn't go in it because he didn't want to be stuck with the song.
Okay, all right.
You know
that's
what
fair.
I mean?
Yeah.
But
it's an earworm.
Yeah, but it's kind of one of those things that you have to do.
I always liked it because, especially in like the afternoon, it's this nice air-conditioned, slow-moving thing. And it's just like...
Just relax. Yeah,
man.
Put your hand there and just be careful you don't pinch it.
I always liked it, so... But yeah, and there's a little piece of Disney history there. That
Pirates of the Caribbean, they now add Johnny Depp into it.
Oh, it's horrible now. Yeah, it's horrible. It's just, where's Jack Sparrow? I'm like, I don't care.
I liked it when I didn't know who Jack Sparrow was.
I just want to see some pirates sell some bitches. I just want to see some cannons, you know? That's all I want.
So,
there you go.
All right, time to put the wheels down?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go ahead and start doing this.
Thanks, Scott.
What a trip. Well, this has been the episode of Devils in the Details, everybody. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, The Devil's Deets. Feel free to comment, suggestions, concerns. We'll go through devilsinthedetailsshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, PFT Media, the greatest media out there in podcasting. Support all our shows that we have. Sandra Carispediso, WTF. Is it WTF?
What's the fuss?
What's the fuss? Yeah, I got it right. The Devils in the Details, of course. Lady Raptastic, Simon Trivia.
Poking the Bear.
Scotch and Good Conversation.
There you go.
State of the Beer Union.
Orlando Opinions.
And many more. And you can follow these shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn.
They say our name on their shows. I just make sure we're not commercially.
Yeah. But we used to have a
Simon
problem.
Simon, he has the devil's in the details. He loves you guys.
Okay. Because we used to have a problem with other shows not promoting us.
Oh, before. Really? No, I'll make sure it's all.
I get real sensitive on this show. And you can also listen to us on Spotify.
Yes.
It's the greatest thing since the Ferris wheel, the 19-something-something fair.
March 24th party.
Yes.
Yes.
March 24th. Copper Rocket.
5 to 9.
Hope to see you guys there. Yeah. I'll be there. Dan, you're going to be there?
I'll be there with the wife, yeah.
Nice.
Wife,
yeah, we're making it. We're going to have some live music. AJ in Evolution will be there.
What playing. Is that? Is that a Prince cover band?
The Prince cover band. It's one dude with a guitar, but I'm sure if you ask him to play a Prince song, he'll play it.
Let's do it.
No, it's not a Prince cover band?
No, but it's a guy. Okay. It's a guy with a guitar.
You thought Evolution, you think of Revolution.
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know how they do it.
Throw him a 5 spot. Ask for When Doves Cry and he'll do it.
No, I want Purple Rain.
Well, then ask for $7 and he'll do it.
$7 for
Purple Rain? $1 a minute. That's fair.
Yeah. I'll be like, yo, dude, I'll make this a 10 spot, but this better be the best cover.
Well, people are going to possibly
can. You better be throwing grapes at us.
This better be the best Copper Rocket version.
Yeah.
Best Copper Rain. I definitely think we can get that.
I think we can get that, actually, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Great.
All right.
Well, I'm excited to meet everyone.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Because we've only met Simon, or at least, I mean,
we know
Tim and Bowie.
We know Etchy. We met Etchy.
Have I met Etchy?
Yeah, you met Etchy when we used to do it in Rampant Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And but the State of the Beer still, people.
Simon's going to be there?
Simon's going to be there,
That's my man crush right there.
Of course.
Mark Baratelli's going to be there.
Awesome. I want a shirt, Simon. I want to rock a shirt at one of the comedy shows. I'm going to be doing the Bachelor Party. For Ken Miller, The Last Fling, April 3rd at the world famous Orlando Improv.
Right.
Nice.
Anybody that wants tickets, hits me up. I'll put you on the list. I'd bring as many people as you want, people. They don't pay me for the people that sit there. I'm already getting paid for whatever it is.
Nice.
So all I'm trying to do is just get as many people out there to watch the show.
It's Tuesday?
Gonna be a blast. It's gonna be me.
Yeah, what is
it's
it? April 3rd. What is that?
It's a Wednesday. Wednesday.
I got you.
Wednesday.
It's me, Ken.
I gotta fly out.
And
day.
A bunch of his other friends. It's the last comedy show he has before he becomes Mr. and Mrs. Ken Miller.
There you go.
Exciting.
This has been The Devils in the Details. Pedro Lima, Dan Perilla, Chris Crespo.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Bitch.
A PFT Media production.